The Power of Henkel.
I'm Laura, the host of our podcast series, The Power of Henkel, and I'm joined today by Henkel's Yassine Shinbo, who is a Henkel key account manager for the company's power and industrial automation business. Recently, Yassine wrote a very intriguing article that he posted on LinkedIn about what influences a product's environmental impact. And his premise in that article is that the sustainable viability of a product is most shaped at the design phase. So we thought we'd explore this a little bit more in depth here on our podcast. So Yassine, welcome, and thank you for giving us all food for thought.
Absolutely, Laura. Happy to be here to discuss a topic I'm very passionate about.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you. In your article, you mentioned a really high percentage, like 80% or something, I think, of the environmental impact of a product, and that can be good or not so good, is determined during its design. So this could include material selection or a product's repairability and or its recyclability potential, packaging useful lifetime, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's a pretty long list. So can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
Sure. Yes, you're correct that all of those aspects influence where a product is eco-friendly or not, and to what degree. So I think we are all aware of sustainable practices in general, but the goal of my post and the piece that I wrote was to get the people thinking about the sustainability gatekeepers, right? In other words, how R&D engineers hold the cards, or many of the cards at least, and as a supplier and partner, how we can enable our customers think about and achieve more sustainable product development that, in the end, provide more positive environmental impact overall.
So what do you think gets that process started then? I mean, how does Henkel engage with customers early on at the initial conceptualization stage, or even for a product redesign, something that's maybe already in the market but needs an overhaul for whatever reason?
Well, as in the case with most subjects, product design or otherwise, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Right, exactly.
So knowledge sharing, collaboration, innovation, and disruptive thinking is central to any successful endeavor. The same holds true with product design.
That's true, for sure. And I think this is also extends to Henkel as a company, because this it does this in its own practices, engaging early on for material development and discovery for Henkel. So, for example, like Henkel's partnership with the North Carolina State University's Freedom Systems Center, where our teams are in there collaborating with designers on EV charging infrastructure advances and designs. Another example is Henkel's Sustainability Days, where the company invites industry stakeholders, thought leaders, et cetera, to discuss areas of innovation where Henkel Focus can give customers the space and insight, and then establish an ecosystem, say, where an engineer could experiment with available options or even new approaches and potential solutions. So Henkel's been very explicit about leveraging its material science knowledge to co-develop, learn through that co-development process, and then pass those learnings on, which I think is extraordinary.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we really invite our customers to embrace this approach, engage early, invite experts like, you know, Henkel and other suppliers into the conversation at the start. I mean, I can't stress how vital this is, leveraging diverse expertise for design freedom and provide the speed to implement new and successful ideas quickly, to bring new sustainable designs to market in a fraction of the time.
Certainly. And I think many organizations do this, but of course, there are those that don't. So for those that don't, what do you think is holding them back? I mean, is it cost? Is it awareness? What's keeping them from pushing the envelope on sustainability?
It could be those things, yes. And there are some very regimented processes that have just always been done in a certain way. And making an engineering change is challenging, at least in the short term. However, on the cost factor, I have to say it's often less costly to implement environmental friendly design. For example, if we look at something that seems simple, say mechanical joining, where you are either welding something together or joining it with screws or clips, those processes and assets can be either replaced or enhanced with adhesives. Adhesives are far more versatile because one material can be used for many applications. They are less costly, faster, and more reliable. In these ways, adhesives can make very positive contributions to a product's sustainability, both in manufacture and its use.
Yeah, that's a great example. I mean, I think also in your article, you highlight some other areas where designers can add sustainable value. I mean, we don't want to give away the whole story here because we want people to read your article, but could you touch on a few of those also?
Yeah, sure. I mean, another example is focusing on improving the production processes. If you are using heat to cure the material in your process, depending on your specifications, you may require less heat or even room temperature cured materials. The result is energy cost savings and faster production processes.
That's true. I mean, there are significant energy savings to be had. I think a lot of designers and manufacturers don't really consider that material selection can contribute to those cost savings. But you, of course, have insight into this. You have a lot of experience working directly with customers, talking with R&D teams about these opportunities, among other sustainability approaches. I mean, in your experience, you see customers all the time. Are there any application cases that may come to mind where, say, a design was changed to leverage a new or different material, or maybe a technique was modified that resulted in a more sustainable result?
There are many. But a couple of recent situations include a high-level discussion with an electrical motor manufacturer and how using our retaining solutions can reduce costs in the process by 30%, increase the lifespan of the motor, and reduce the CO2 footprint. Another example is testing with our partners a new high thermally conductive potting solution. This new material may allow our customers to keep the design product the same. However, energy inefficiency and will it be improved double digits. So the example above are just a snapshot of collaborations and how Henkel is creating the ecosystem for design engineer to explore the boundaries of the possible. However, the same engineer must disrupt the old approach, think out of the box to make sustainability a reality faster.
Absolutely. So the design engineers obviously need to be a bit more courageous, huh? This has been such an interesting and thoughtful discussion. It's really quite an enlightening topic, and your article raises several areas of opportunity for eco-friendly R&D. So I encourage anyone who hasn't read it to go and find you on LinkedIn and give it a read. It'll take just a couple of minutes and offer some excellent advice.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to join the podcast today, too. And to our listeners, we appreciate you tuning in. And as always, for more information, visit www.henkel-adhesives.com for all your power and industrial automation material needs. Until next time.
The Power of Henkel.